for their hashtags.
A dissection of pop culture past
with Eric Dallinger
and Carlina Billings.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Before There Were Hashtags podcast. I am your host, Eric Dallinger, and I am here with my lovely co-host, Carlina Billings.
Yes, you are. It's me. I'm Carly. Hello. Welcome to us.
Yes, and we're back.
We're back again, baby.
It's been, what, 3 weeks? 2 weeks? I don't even know.
Girl, who knows? I couldn't tell you. Time isn't real. I'm going to be straight up. It's my fault. It's all me. I had the big C, as in the cove.
I got it too, to be honest.
I mean, to be fair, who hasn't? Let's be real. And it's just been a weird few weeks, but we're back at it.
We're back at it. We're in a World War III.
Oh my God. A war. Yeah, that's right. So much has happened in 3 weeks, but also nothing at the same time, as always.
That's not to make light of the situation. It's pretty terrible what's happening.
No, but I mean, oh, of course. I mean, like, the macrocosm of the thing, but also on the microcosm, I feel like, for me, I'm like, huh? Okay, another day of living, which is great. Who's not happy to be alive?
Who's not happy to be alive?
Right? Feels good. But also, it's like, now I'm alive. That's what's happening. So, can you tell I haven't talked in a long time to anybody besides myself and my cat and my parents and my sister? Hello?
Yes. Yes, Cara Billings.
Come on, Cara Billings.
Yeah. Who refuses to be on the podcast because she's a teacher.
She's a professional. She's not like us professionals.
I've always said we need like a section with your mom. Where we just interview your mom for 5 minutes every episode, being like, what do you think of this topic, Rena?
Like, it's because whenever you come over and talk about what we're talking about, she just, like, has the most random things to say. She's just a random lady who loves to...
I love her opinion. Rena's Corner.
Her opinions usually just makes no sense, and she loves it.
I love it.
Rena's Corner. In another universe, there's a whole podcast called Rena's Corner.
Exactly.
She just talks to their microphone. Yeah. But my mom is somebody who, if you know her, she is inevitably the center of the conversation. But she's someone who's very shy. So she doesn't, like, seek out to be the center of the conversation. It's only once you know her well that she just, like, lets loose and is... probably the funniest person in the room.
She didn't choose to be the center of the conversation. The center of the conversation chose her.
Absolutely. She would prefer to be a wallflower. She's, like, got a wallflower Virgo personality met with the, like, just hilarity and nonsense of the best comedian you could think of. Yeah. I love her.
She's very dry in the best way.
Totally dry. Yeah. She's like where I learned how to be funny. Like being Italian and being her kid is how I learned how to make jokes. Like fully.
Nice.
So, yeah. We love Rena. We love her imaginary corner.
One day.
It's just wallpapered with her face. Literally the wallflower. It's flowers. She's a wallflower. Oh, that would be funny.
Perks of being a wallflower.
It's starring Rena Billings. That's literally her story of her life.
She's taking over for Emma Watson.
That's right. She's in the remake. She's cast as Emma Watson. For sure.
Well, Hollywood, call us. Call Rena.
Call Rena. We'll look you up.
She'll definitely be assigned to Talent House after that. DaCosta? Newt Landry?
Any and all. Who knows?
They're looking for their next Rena.
They're looking for the Rena.
Oh my gosh. That needs to be an episode. Search for the next doll.
Oh, yeah. That's a mood.
I follow a TikTok that's just that. It just plays clips of Search for the Next Doll.
Of course you follow a TikTok that's just Search for the Next Doll. I'm obsessed.
It's awesome.
That's so good.
All right. Well, we like to start our podcast off by doing 5 minutes of gassing up the time machine, going back to the way back. It didn't sound natural coming off of my tongue anymore.
Oh, no. We're out of practice, out of the wheel.
We're so out of practice.
Let me give it a try. We're taking it from the top. 2, do the thing that we love to do, which is gas up our time machine so we can go back to the way back and chat about today's topic, baby.
Today's current pop culture.
How in the hell else are we supposed to get to the past by just talking about the past?
No.
So we're taking 5 minutes.
You need a little foreplay before you get into the past.
That's right. And to gas it up, we're talking about current pop culture.
Yes, we are. Here we go. 5 minutes.
We just indulge a little. It's a little indulgence.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, blast off.
Woo!
Well, Kim Kardashian has landed herself in a little bit of trouble.
Drama girl. Drama. Kim K.
During an interview, I believe it was with Business Insider.
I feel like that's right.
Yeah, I might be wrong
somebody
about
that. Somebody like that. Somebody like that, for sure.
Yeah, somebody like that. She said something along the lines of, if you want to succeed, if women in business want to succeed, get your ass up. Up and fucking work. People these days don't want to work anymore. And yeah, it kind of sent the internet into a firestorm.
Yeah, it was not the move, Kim.
You know what? To be honest, in fairness to Kim, it's decent advice in the absolute worst packaging ever.
Yeah, it's kind of like good, tough love advice.
Yeah.
But it's coming off as entitled from someone like her.
Yes.
She's not positioned well to give this advice. That's all.
Yes.
She's not coming at it humbly. She's not coming at it, you know, in any real approachable way. She's giving this like hard, approachable advice, but in the packaging that is Kim Kardashian, mega superstar millionaire.
Born
of everything,
born to a rich dad and an even more famous stepdad. Yes,
literally. And so it's not like she's not positioned well in a way to give this kind of pull up your bootstraps and get to work advice. It also is very like old-timey white man advice, which like is not what people are looking for.
I honestly think it would have gone over all right had she taken a lot of the swear words out and taken the line of people don't want to work anymore, because that felt a little attacked. Like if she just said
a little pointed. Yeah.
Yeah. If she just said like, if you want to succeed, truly the only advice I can give you is to work really, really hard. Like you have to work so hard in this business.
She's not wrong.
She's not wrong about that.
Successful people are people that refuse to give up. Right. Like see failure as a next stepping stone to the next thing. Whereas, the way she said it and the way it came across are two very different, maybe not different things, but didn't help one another. Like, I understand her intent, but the way that it was delivered, the delivery was not it. It's not what everyone was needing.
Yeah. Now, I heard a really interesting hot take. This was, I believe it's Roz from ET Canada.
Okay.
Said, maybe she wasn't really talking to everybody in the audience, but talking directly to Courtney, because she, on the show, she famously gets so mad at Courtney because Courtney doesn't work hard enough. She doesn't feel like Courtney does enough for their brand, that Courtney doesn't want to put out the apps.
Well, out of all of them, Courtney's the one who works the least.
Yeah, Courtney. Like, but maybe that's because she doesn't have to.
No, but also she doesn't have to in a family that is full of workaholics who don't need to be workaholics, especially at this point. She is the one who takes a back seat and just kind of doesn't do as much, and she still gets, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm a kid who like started doing well in school when I was in elementary school, and then I got to high school and I was like, can I do less but still do well? Turns out, yes. So I did less and still did well. Got to university, said, can I do less and still do well? No, maybe I should do a little more. And then I didn't, and I did medium. So, you know what I mean? I'm like, I'm the Kourtney Kardashian of marks. Like, so you get degrees, okay? So, that's only in some subjects. But, I mean, it's true, and it's like, I don't, like, falter for that, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes
you don't want to work every day, all day, only be the only thing that takes your time.
Also, some people said that we shouldn't try to relate to Kim. Kim's not meant to be the relatable one. Like, Courtney and Kim.
No!
Courtney and Khloe are the relatable ones.
100%. Kim is the, like, poster child, like, unattainable, She's the aspirational version.
The golden child. She's the golden child. Yeah, well, maybe Kylie's the golden child now.
Well, Kylie's like the golden child in that she's like the one that it can do no wrong. Whereas Kim is the golden child, like, who sets the standard. And the standard's very high.
Mm-hmm. Kim walks so Kylie could run.
Honestly, yeah.
Like, we have a whole episode on the Kardashians if you want to listen to it.
We totally do, and it's really good.
Needless to say, I think they work really hard. I do, but they're not in the position to say that.
But they're not in a position to just tell people, think like, if you work hard, things will happen, because that's not true. That's like, yeah, if you work hard, like, you have a better chance of things happening. Okay, but it's not the only thing there is, period. End of the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was the end of our time machine.
Right.
So we are way back in the way back, whatever that means. I don't even know if I'm saying it right anymore.
You're doing it. All right. Go back to the way back.
All right. Well, we promised you a part two. We promised you a part two. We talked the Real W on our last episode.
Mm-hmm.
This is a shout out to Luke, who, like, literally, we were talking and he was like, when's the Cheetah Girls episode coming?
Oh,
I want to know about the Cheetah Girls.
It's here. Don't worry. We promised it. We're not liars.
We're not liars.
We might be laters, but we're not liars. So here it is. As promised.
Yeah. So, so the Cheetah Girls was actually a book series started by... Started by a woman known as Deborah Gregory, who wrote for Essence magazine.
Love it.
Yes. And the book was, of course, about a multiracial group of girls who like to sing and dance and wanted to be superstars.
Hell yeah.
Very similar to the movie.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And at one point, Disney execs found these books and they were like, hey, this would make a really great TV show.
Yeah.
Not TV show. Movie, I should say.
Movie. One of those Disney Channel originals.
That being said, I don't believe that the books... Well, the books, there's like multiples. I think maybe the first one draws some inspiration, and then after that, they just kind of go in their own direction.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's just the like the small premise. They're like, let's take this from the books. And then they just kind of do their own thing, which is great. We love it.
Yeah. I mean, Game of Thrones is basically fan fiction of the books.
Honestly, yeah.
I say that, but I've never watched a single episode.
I mean, I stopped reading and watching at some point, and then I was like, sure. So I couldn't tell you.
There's Starbucks cups in that world.
Right? That's something that's not in the book for sure.
For sure. And so, yeah, so Disney found these books and was like, we're going to make them into movies. And they brought on a producer. You know who that producer was?
Who was that producer, Eric?
And I will always love Whitney Houston. Because, Whitney Houston was an executive producer on the Cheetah Girls movie.
She's got that Cheetah Girls money.
Well, she did.
Thank you, Whitney Houston.
Her state.
Well, at this point, people making money from Cheetah Girls for her is her estate. I mostly meant she's some of the money behind Cheetah Girls.
Yeah.
Not also that she's making money from Cheetah Girls, but she, honestly, So, yes to all.
Well, now that's on that Disney Plus, get them those royalties.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think of that. Absolutely. That's so true.
Then came the process of casting, an integral part.
Any movie, but especially this movie that relies heavily on four young songstresses.
And so to hold down the leading role of Gabriella. You know what? She's the less famous Gabriella. The most famous being Gabriella Montez.
Oh my God, High School Musical. It's because people don't think of her as Gabriella. They just think of it as Raven.
As Raven.
Is the Cheetah Girls.
Yep.
Spoiler alert, we're talking about Raven,
Raven Simone. Raven Simone was, of course, sorry, she's not Gabriella, she's Galleria.
Galleria, that's why.
All the Cheetah Girls fans are...
Because Gabriella.
Because she's not even a Gabriella.
She's not a Gabriella.
All the Cheetah Girls fans are screaming at me. I, like, looked at my notes and it was like, Galleria. I was Galleria. Like, oh, can't read out the corner of my eyes. Doesn't work that way.
Gotta use all your eyes to read all the words.
Yes.
Yeah, no, her name is Galleria.
So, Galleria, like Raven.
Raven.
Raven was a great choice, Raven Simone, because she was a Disney Channel fixture at this point. You know, That's a Raven had started.
That's so Raven.
She was
in
on
the future, I can see. Yeah,
that's
girl.
So Raven.
So good.
Yeah. And then she was also, before that, she became a household name as a little child star on a little show. I don't know if we should really even mention the name.
We can mention it because, I mean, everybody else on it was...
Yeah, we shouldn't... We don't punish everybody else.
Yeah.
She, of course, was the little girl on The Cosby Show, so she had a name to her. So she was a great choice to sort of
hold down,
be sort of the...
Anchor.
The anchor, the headliner of the show, the movie.
The draw, if you will. Yeah.
And then, so they had they're beautiful Galleria. So then they, you know, it was supposed to be about a multi-ethnic group. So then they needed to cast a Latina girl. And so for the character of Chanel came Adrienne Bailong, who we are very familiar with from our last episode.
Very familiar.
We love her
and her beautiful curly hair. We love her.
And Adrienne, of course, was part of the group 3LW.
Yes, you might remember from last episode.
Woot woot. Yes.
Boop, boop, boop.
And then we have Dorinda, who was played by Sabrina Bryan. And Sabrina was actually kind of a bit of an unknown before this. And they didn't even know what race they wanted Dorinda to be. So they, but they found Sabrina. And, like, there's an interview where Sabrina says, like, they had all types of girls there. And she was like, I saw Adrienne there and Raven there. And I got really, really intimidated. So, you know, she did it, though. And Sabrina was primarily a dancer before the Cheetah Girls movie.
Yeah. And honestly, her character in the movie is the dancer out of the group. So it makes sense. Yeah. No, I love her. Because even in the movie, like, out of the girls who are cast in the group, she is the underdog. And in the movies, she kind of plays the underdog, too.
Yes,
which I thought was really, really neat and interesting. Like, they kind of all just play what you expect, which is great, which is interesting and cute and fun. Who doesn't love it?
And then finally, we have the character of Aqua, who was not played, but was originally cast as Solange Smith-Knowles.
Hell yeah, it was.
Is it Solange Knowles or Solange Smith-Knowles?
Solange Knowles. And Solange...
she was Solange Smith at one point, though. She, I swear, in the third Bring It On, is credited as Solange Smith-Knowles.
She might be, but she's known as Solange Knowles.
As Beyoncé's little sister.
Yeah, maybe Solange. Who doesn't know Solange, okay?
Terrible.
Come on. And Solange was originally cast, but then Solange pulled out of the film.
Yes.
Due to the promotion and release of her debut album, Solo Star.
Yes.
So she was like, I'm doing my own thing.
The album was called, the album was called Solo Star. So I was watching a video and they kept being like, Solange pulled out for her debut album. And being a solo star. So now I realize, no, she wasn't pulling out to be a solo star. The album was actually called
Solo Star. But also, I guess she was pulled out. She wasn't part of a group for her solo album. So I guess, No, it's literally, her album's called Solo Star and it was released in like 2002.
Yes. Yeah. Well, she pulled out and she was replaced by a very promising actor.
You had to do one.
I'm so sorry.
Prometheus. As you might remember from last episode, Keely Williams is who replaced her.
Yes.
From none other than a little girl group called 3LW.
And she's basically cast because they saw Adrienne and they were like, well, we might as well you know, cast Keely as well. But yeah. This, of course, left Jessica Benson, who was also part of 3LW, kind of out in the cold. And, of course, she was the new girl in 3LW, so she didn't really stand much of a fighting chance.
No. And that's kind of why that all fell by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
But originally, Eric, with the movie, there was no contractual plans to record music as an actual group.
No. You know
that? They were originally just going to be this girl group in a movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then producer Deborah Martin Chase decided to convince Disney to create new contracts for all the girls so that they could release the film's music as a soundtrack.
Yes.
Which is iconic. Because
I don't want to be like Cinderella,
sitting in an Akuta's tea cellar.
I'd rather rescue myself.
Like, come on. We all know it wasn't promoted because it was just kind of an add-on.
Yeah.
But it was like a runaway hit. It was a huge success.
Yes.
Because all the little girls who saw the movie, Carly Billings raises her hand. Me. Needed the music to dance to with her friends. Pal the Pod, Carly Brittle, will remember this well. And it was amazing and incredible. And
Haley Lewis, Pal of the Pod.
Yeah, Pal of the Pod. Were we the Cheetah Girls? Yes, we were. We all agree. Yep, we were. So, yeah. So brilliant. I can't imagine this movie without that part of the contract. So That's so brilliant. Just wow.
Yes. Yes. And the movie was a smash hit. It premiered with
6.5
million viewers on the Disney Channel.
Yes. Yes, it did.
And the DVD originally sold 800,000 copies, which doesn't seem like a lot, but I'm sure that was just the initial.
Yeah. Run of
push.
It.
Push. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's on Disney Plus. So.
On Disney Plus, baby. The Cheetah Girls were actually supposed to also be adapted into a primetime TV series.
Yes, on ABC.
Which sounds wild to me.
So originally they wanted to write in a role for Jessica Benson because they were like, might as well be part of the group too.
Yeah.
But the producers didn't know how to work around the fact that Raven was already on a sitcom and wouldn't have been able to be a part of it. So they decided basically to be like, nah, without Raven, there's not a point.
And honestly, they're right. Like, we can jump ahead in a little bit, but like, we know the Cheetah Girls without Raven, and we know how that goes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's not it. It's just not really it. The first time that they ever recorded as a trio instead of a quartet was for the Disney Mania 3 album when they remade the song I Won't Say I'm in Love from Hercules.
Yeah, it was really interesting because they of course signed with Disney Records and later Hollywood Records on August 12th, 2003. I have that written down.
Come on, facts.
But they signed Raven as a solo artist and signed the other three as a group. And because Raven was on the label, she could be on the Cheetah Girls soundtracks. But yeah, Raven was never part of the group outside of it. Like they went on tour after their first movie, and they went on tour with Ali and AJ. And of course, it was
also love Ali and AJ. Can I just say
potential breakup song? That is a hit.
Come on, and they released new music not too long ago too, and it still slapped. Like
potential breakup song.
Oh, come on, Ali and AJ.
Yeah, no, they're great.
But yeah, they went on tour with them. Yeah, as a trio.
But of course, they only went as a trio.
Mm-hmm.
And like we sort of previously said with Keely, she's not a vocal virtuoso.
I mean, we did drag her through the mud last episode.
Well, her vocals. Her sister, Tease Williams, said that. Like, that was a quote from her own sister. So.
No, yeah. We're just repeating. To be fair. But, and I mean, to be fair, the only, like, vocal strong house in that group is Adrian Bailon without Raven.
Like, so a lot of it fell on Sabrina Bryan's
dancer. A lot of it fell on Adrian in the tree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then they moved on to their second movie, and this is where the drama begins.
Before the second movie, they did do Cheetalicious Christmas.
Oh, of course. Without Raven.
Without Raven, which we just have to touch on because what is Christmas without Cheetah Girls?
So, oh, I know.
You know.
Cheetah-licious Christmas.
Cheetah-licious. We're Cheetah-licious!
Oh my gosh.
Sorry. That's how we are. And also the Jonas Brothers were special guests on the Alien AJ tour. Can we just point that out? Because that to me is hilarious.
As well. That is hilarious.
It's how you know when you are based on how famous a certain group is.
It's true.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So that's when we are, in case you're wondering, in the grand scheme. And we're moving on to Cheetah Girls 2.
Cheetah Girls 2.
Yes.
The sequel follows the main characters as they travel to Barcelona, Spain. Yes. Oh my god, Barcelona would be perfect for Keely. Barcelona. I'm sorry. People with lisps are going to hate me.
Oh my god! The lisps community is going to eat you alive.
Just so everybody knows, I am kind of part of the lisp community. I definitely have a sibilant S. So,
oh,
like,
I do too. I have literally had to have a speech pathologist as a kid. Like, they came to my house and taught me how to say my S's because I have a lazy tongue.
Yeah.
Quote unquote. So,
so like, fair. We are part of the lisp community making too. Making fun of ourselves. So we are making fun of ourselves.
We have to work hard to have good diction, okay? It's also literally our jobs.
In theater school, I was part of the S club. We had a full, like, group that we had to meet.
Oh, my God.
We had to meet with our voice and text teacher to get rid of our sibling S's. And I still don't think they fully did it.
They managed, yeah. They managed something, but
yeah.
Who knows what.
Sibilance.
That is really funny. Sibilance.
Where were we? Where were we?
Cheetah Girls 2, boo-boo.
Yes, okay, yes. So Cheetah Girls 2 was directed by Kenny Ortega. Whoa.
I mean, who's surprised? This is the Kenny Ortega era of Disney Channel.
And this movie was special because it had the Kenny Ortega twist that, like, the songs were more sort of dream sequences of pop stardom, unlike its predecessor, which were more sort of karaoke-like musical numbers.
Yeah, very that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a little... The second one was a little more grand in a lot of ways.
Yes. And it introduced a new character named Dorinda. No, not Dorinda. What was
not
her name?
Not Dorinda. We know Dorinda.
What was her name? Oh, Belinda. Sorry.
Belinda. That's
played by
right.
Marisol.
Marisol.
And that's like, yes. Literally I remember them being like, played by Marisol. Like, never had a last name. She was like,
no,
Madonna.
Just Marisol. Yeah. You don't need to know her last name.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, there was a lot of kind of drama behind this movie. So... Essentially, the three girls went on tour and they got really, really close and they were really, really good friends. And then they came back and Raven didn't feel like she really fit in with the group anymore.
I mean, because she didn't.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? They had like a year of being really close, spending all their time together, traveling the world, doing all these things. And Raven was busy living her life and doing her things and... spending time on That's a Raven, and, you know, of course they're not going to have the same shared bonding experiences.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not possible.
And in fact, just like in 3LW, Keely had a huge fight with Raven at one point. When yes. Raven was on The View, she interviewed Lynn Whitfield, who played her mother in the Cheetah Girls movie.
Yes.
I was like, I love this woman. I call her mama. You know, aww. If it wasn't for her, I would have beat this girl. Like, I would have been sent to jail. Like, basically, oh that's God. How intense the fight, I guess, was. That
oh, no. They,
yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting that Raven and Adrian, like, didn't still connect. Because, of course, Adrian was also on That's a Raven.
Yeah.
She played the school bully.
Yeah, she was mean.
She was mean. She's a mean girl. You're a mean girl, Caddy.
You're a mean girl.
You're not pretending anymore. You're full, plastic. Shiny, hard plastic. Sorry.
But that was Adrian Barlant in That's a Raven.
And That's a Raven.
For
sure. But yeah, so now rumors since have stated that, and these are rumors, these have been actually disproven by both Raven and Keely. But the rumor was, after Raven came out as a lesbian, that Keely was trying to out her, and that's why the fight happened.
Oh, I do remember hearing that.
Now, both have denied that.
Yeah.
So
whether or not that's true, It's been denied. That's all that matters.
Been denied. Yeah, Keely in an Instagram Live was like, first people called me a racist, a colorist, and now I'm a homophobe.
Girl.
I can't speak to the racist, colorist comment, but if Raven denies her being a homophobe, so I'll believe it.
Go.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when people don't like someone, they look for a reason not to like them, instead of just going out with I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that might be what's happening there.
Now I watched this Instagram Live actually that I watched was between Raven and Keely. Hashed it out. I'm sort of jumping a little bit ahead.
Give it to us.
Basically Raven sort of said of Keely to her face was like, you have the power, Keely, to change the energy in the room, and you can use that power for good, and you can use that power for evil. And sometimes you used it for evil.
Ooh. I mean.
And Keely agreed. Keely was like, you're right. I do have that power, and I need to know how to use it.
I mean, that's fair. And also, like, let's think about, too, when they were the biggest. They were young.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard to step into the public eye so strongly as a young woman, let alone a young black woman or a young, you know, person of color, which is 3/4 of the group.
Yeah.
That is an incredibly hard thing. I mean, Raven had been doing it her whole life, so she was good at it, right?
Yes.
But the other three, not so much.
Well, also, this is just conjecture, and I don't know anything, but Keely was always posed to be, like, the Beyonce of 3LW. Like, she was the main girl.
We talked about this and kind of agreed on that, I think. Mm-hmm. That, yeah, they put her in the center a lot.
So she now is in this group called the Cheetah Girls where, like, Raven's the main girl. Like, Raven's the main character in both the first two movies.
Yeah, because it circles around the Cheetah Girls, but Galleria is the girl.
Yeah, she writes the music. And if anything,
Adrian is the second. Like, it goes and then, like, follows, the other two follow suit. Like,
yeah.
Because Galleria and, oh my gosh, what's her name? What's her
Aqua.
Name? Aqua. Yes. So weird.
What a name.
Galleria and Aqua are best friends. Like, they set that up from the beginning, from the get.
Correction. Her name is Chanel, but still.
Yeah.
And then the other two girls join the group. Like, they're, like, part of the group. And that's why they're all friends. And that's the thing they have in common. Not that they're friends.
Yeah. At
first, they're like girl group members first, which is interesting. So yeah, I guess there could be some friction there going from I'm the like pseudo leader to now I'm second string a little.
Yeah.
I can understand that. But Cheetah Girls 2, Barcelona, a wild time.
A wild time.
Can we talk about how also on the tracks is none other than Drew Seeley alongside Belinda?
Yes. Yes. Drew Seeley, most famous for the voice of Zac Efron.
Yes. Drew Seeley, who is Zac Efron. Which is so funny because I loved that song. Dance With Me was my favorite out of it all. Even though Strut was a bop. Party
I liked begun. Amigas, cheetahs, friends for life.
The rhythm and each other. That's what keeps us tight. I mean, that was really good. My favorite was Dance With Me because I liked the like the dance sequence that went with it.
You've got a strut like you, like mean, you mean it. Free your mind.
It's not enough just to dream it. Come on, come on, get up when you feel it. It's so good. It's your chance to shine. Strut like you mean it.
We're gonna get a copyright violation on this episode.
It's so funny. It's so funny.
Fun fact about this production is that it was all filmed in Barcelona, Spain, including... And you
can tell, they use it.
Yeah, but including the scenes that took place in New York were all shot in Spain.
Well, because it was cheaper, I'm sure.
It was cheaper.
Way cheaper. Yeah. And they'd already done all the New York stuff in the first movie, like the dog falling down the well and the singing to the dog. And
that plot
was always so much. But, yeah. Oh, so... Good.
And at the time, so it premiered and it was the highest rated Disney Channel original movie with a total of 8.1 million viewers, which
I mean,
it
was the It movie.
It beat Hilary Duff's Cadet Kelly.
I mean, What would you prefer to watch, Cadet Kelly or Cheetah Girls 2? I'm going to say Cheetah Girls 2 every time.
I don't know. Hillary Duff. And
I mean, with Christy Carlson Romano.
Yeah, I was going to say Christy Carlson Romano.
I mean, they're the heavy hitters. You'd think they would outdo it. But kids
They did 7.8 million, so they didn't do so badly.
They were neck and neck. But still, kids and people love a musical moment.
But they were beat. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. No, they were beat.
They were beat by Jump In.
Jump In was good.
Corbin Bleu and What's her name?
I am sorry to this man. Isn't it her? Kiki Palmer?
Kiki Palmer. Sorry.
Yeah, she's the I'm sorry to this man. I would know things.
She's a Keela on the Bee?
Yes. She's a queen of meme. I love her.
I mean, but nothing can pass High School Musical 2 with 17.2 million viewers, so.
It's High School Musical 2. And again, that's a musical. People love a musical. A camp moment. A time to have a good time.
Who a camp rock that? Moment.
A camp rock. We rock. We rock on. Oh, my God. We could talk forever.
This is me.
I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And I'm.
We are totally getting into chaotic energy over here.
I mean, we can't not. It's like.
We love
these
it.
These are the creme de la creme a la Edgars of Disney Channel movies. Mm-hmm. And this one stands among them.
This is our childhood.
The second one. I mean, to be fair, absolutely. But so good.
And the soundtrack was released on August 15th, 2006. Yeah. And it peaked at number 5 on the Billboard 200 and sold over 1.4 million copies.
And you know who bought one? Me with my hand up in the air. Big yes. Yes from me. Played it. Fell asleep to it every night. I'm pretty sure it bumped out of the rotation Kelly Clarkson's debut album. And I listened to this forever. Yeah. Soon to be bumped out, though, by the High School Musical soundtracks. That's true. My soundtrack listening went as a kid. But, oh my God, it was
good. Also had the bonus track of Route 66, which I believe was actually written for the movie RV. Not written, but recorded, because it's a remake.
They recorded their version for that movie, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they re-released it.
Which I did a dance to. I choreographed a dance one time in 2019 for little girls.
Oh my God. To the Cheetah Girls version of Route 66.
Yes.
I'm obsessed.
And the costumes were hideous.
Come on, fashion.
They were purple with cheetah print. And it was my choice to do that. And then I saw them and I was like, I regret all these decisions.
You were like, oops.
It wasn't really even my idea. I was combining a group with another group, so the other choreographer had already started their routine. So I was like, oh, okay, like, we'll just do what you're doing. And then I designed the costume. I don't know why, but she was like, I really want cheetah print because it's Cheetah Girls. And I was like, I really want purple for some reason. So I combined it.
You could combine purple with cheetah print.
Yeah, and it was, in theory, it wasn't so bad, but then
it sounds kind of great.
The cheetah print that they ended up going with was more yellow. Like, it was very bright yellow, so it wasn't like a neutral. Like, cheetah is actually considered a neutral, believe it or not, in fashion. Yeah. Not a neutral, so that's why it looked terrible.
I have cheetah Crocs, and they're definitely neutral to me.
Yeah.
Though also, now that I think about it, they might be leopard. But to me, everything's
It's cheetah, all the same.
Because cheetah is, it's cheetalicious. So Cheetah Girls 2, it was a bop. It was a smash. Everyone loved it. They performed at the Disney Channel Games. Remember that? Oh, my
yes.
God. Yes. And it was so good. And they also went on tour.
They did. Because they superstars.
Of course they are.
Well, then, they decided they're going to do one more. They're going to do a third Girls movie.
They were like, we did it twice. How about thrice?
And this was called Cheetah Girls One World, also known as Cheetah Girls 3.
One heart.
And they go to...
something once in a circle together. That's the only thing I know from the movie. Yeah, they go to Bollywood.
They go to India.
None of them are Indian, but they go to Bollywood for some reason. That's
yes. It is interesting.
Do you remember why they went to Bollywood? I don't really remember the in on that movie.
I'm pulling up the Wikipedia so that I can refresh myself.
Okay, because I, for the life of me, I was thinking about it. I was like, I know they're in Bollywood, and I knew they do a lot of Bollywood things.
They get cast in a movie called, Namaste Bombay.
Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I don't know why these girls were cast.
That's interesting. Right. Yeah. Guess they're like, we want this all-American group in our Bollywood movie.
None of them speak Hindi.
No, none of them speak Hindi. None of them are Indian or from India or have anything remotely, like, Indian in their story or background. There's nothing to do with India in any of the other movies, except maybe at the beginning when they try to pitch them, instead of calling them the Cheetah Girls, they try to give them that, like, panda. They try to give them all the masks and go,
yes,
we go all around the world. We go all around the world. They tried to pitch them as that, like, international group, which was weird. But even that, they don't have, an India-themed anything. They had, a panda, and they had, a cheetah and an elephant, maybe. I don't know.
It was, I forgot. Weird. Yeah.
But what I do know is, what? Why Bollywood? I guess because they were trying to, go big. They're like, what's bigger than Barcelona?
What's bigger than Spain? Yeah. Bollywood. India.
I guess that was kind of their thought process of that. I don't know.
If they did a fourth movie, it'd be Cheetah Girls Go East, and it'd be them, doing K-pop.
Oh.
Cheetah Girls meets BTS.
Fourth idea.
Fourth idea.
Franchise. Reboot.
Reboot. They go to Korea.
Reboot. They become a K-pop group.
They become Blackpink. Truly, this is just the origin story of Blackpink.
Truly, Eric's just gunning for a Blackpink movie.
But this also marked the first movie without Galleria, otherwise known as Raven Simone.
R.I.P. Raven Simone and the Cheetah Girls. Yeah, because of all the quote-unquote cat fights.
Mm-hmm.
Cheetah Girls. Things from the original thing, original two, it was mostly that Raven was like, no, I felt excluded, and
I didn't feel part of the group.
I said no, rather than there was so much infighting, she's more just like, I didn't feel like it, so
she
I
separated
no.
herself from the situation,
which is commendable and made sense as mm-hmm. someone who grew up with them. You could kind of feel in the second movie that they weren't a unit like how they were in the first.
Yeah.
Even though it was fun and enjoyable. But then the third was like, oh, they're still doing this.
Yeah.
That's how I remember feeling about it. Which was interesting.
And so they wrote her off by saying that she got into Cambridge University. So
yeah,
Gallery's a smart girl.
She is smart with a capital S. Yeah, and they started filming Cheetah Girls One World in January 2008, and it premiered in August, which, mm-hmm. that's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, it is.
That is an incredibly fast turnaround for a movie. I hadn't really realized that.
Mm-hmm.
It was released end of August, August 22nd, and its soundtrack was released a few days earlier on August 19th.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
However, this was the poorest performing Cheetah Girls movie to date.
The Mighty Have to Fall. And,
yes.
Out of all three, it was the lowest viewed, debuting with 6.2 million.
I mean, to be fair, that is not too shabby.
No, it's not anything to be mad at.
Failed to meet the ratings of the first two films.
Well, they didn't outdo them. They didn't meet and or outdo themselves, and so I'm sure that was disappointing. And I'm sure they knew going in they would take a hit without Raven, but I don't know that maybe they knew how much of a hit that would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure. But they also recorded a soundtrack, of course, for of this course. Movie, with such hits as "Cheetah Love" by the Cheetah Girls, "Dig a Little Deeper" by the Cheetah Girls, and each of the girls got their own solo track on this album. "Stand Up" by Adrian, Keely had "Circle Game," and Sabrina had "Crazy on the Dance Floor."
Adrian had two, actually. She also had "What If."
Oh, she did. Yes, you're right. Yeah, you're right.
Because she's Adrian. So what do you?
Well, she is the vocalist of the group.
She's the voice. Let's be real here. I remember One World. That's the only one I remember.
Oh, really?
And Well, the only song.
One heart.
That's all I remember.
Sing it.
And I do a bunch of Bollywood, and it's really cool. I remember thinking, wow, I love Bollywood. Me as a, like, 12-year-old. Me, I love Bollywood. Like, this just white kid from the suburbs of Ontario.
Love it.
I love Bollywood.
Never actually seen a real Bollywood movie.
No, but I learned about Bollywood that day. Yes. And I thought, I love Bollywood.
I love Bollywood.
But yeah, the Cheetah Girls were my personal into Bollywood, which was really, is a real choice. which was interesting. But after the movie premiered, they, in the fall, went on tour, on the World Tour, to promote the soundtrack and everything. And it would be their last tour together, Eric. Yeah.
Yeah, they moved on. So after that, Sabrina would go on to be on Dancing with the Stars, where she was partnered with Mark Ballas. Adrian, okay, so according to Tease Williams, Adrian was very jealous of Sabrina on Dancing with the Stars, and that was part of the reason why she started dating Rob Kardashian, was because she wanted to get into the Kardashian gang.
Stop, really?
Yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily believe it, because I don't think Tease Williams is, like, really a reliable source. I think she's very biased.
Yeah.
And Keely sort of has suggested that once she joined sort of the Kardashian gang, she kind of was done with both 3LW and the Cheetah Girls.
Yeah, she had found her own thing and was like, I'm finished with that other thing. So yeah, in late December 2008, the group disbanded, mostly because they were doing other Disney franchise things is the line, but they were also just kind of done. Like,
yeah,
and that's really funny. They started the year filming a new movie as a group, and by the end of the year, they were done.
Yeah.
Like, that, to me, I know things happen quickly, but that is a quick turnaround. Like, that is a big, that's fast.
Yeah. I mean, Adrian, in an interview, sort of said, like, part of it's, though, that Disney, like, the Disney machine, like, cycles through properties really fast. Like, they sort of have a three-movie limit. Like,
yeah,
the group had kind of run its course, and then with the lowering of the ratings, Disney was like, okay, like, we usually only do three movies. It seems like the audience is done with it. Because, of course, kids grow up, right? So,
yeah, it's,
they need to create new franchises to get the younger kids. And as those kids grow, they expand that franchise. And then those kids grow out of that franchise. And so then they create a new franchise for the new kids, right? That's why they always have a rotating roster of shows and movies. But it was like kind of a cash cow. So I'm kind of surprised that
they didn't like milk it for more. That's kind of my thought process on that. Mm-hmm. You're right that, like, in the grand scheme, they only give, like, a few big things to each kind of endeavor. Like, they give a few big shots to it and then go, now it's done.
Yeah.
But I find a lot of times they like, drag some things out. And for Cheetah Girls, they didn't, like, maybe they would have dragged out them touring a little longer. Maybe they would have dragged out, you know, another Christmas album or something, you know?
Yeah.
But they just didn't, because I guess they just knew it was kind of done.
Well, there was also the thing, Adrian had some nude photos leak, and so I think there was like sort of a culmination of a bunch of things that, like, the audience was sort of telling them that they were on their way out, and then the girls were like, Adrian was 25 playing a 15-year-old, so you know that there's this sort of, the girls were growing up, they were sort of exiting that world, and aging then on top of it, Adrian was now had some leaked photos. So it's sort of,
plus
it
they had already like lost Raven with the third movie.
And yeah.
All, like, there was a lot working against them at the at that time. So I guess it does really make sense. But I remember I had a Tooth Tunes toothbrush for like ever.
Oh my gosh, Tooth Tunes.
And it was a Cheetah Girls 2, I think.
I'm obsessed. Tooth
Tunes toothbrush. It was amazing. I was obsessed with it. It was my toothbrush I had at my Nana's house, so I didn't use it all the time. But I loved it and cherished it. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. So brushing your teeth to music.
Literally brushing my teeth to Cheetah Girls vibes, and it's a great way to wake up.
You gotta brush like you mean it.
Brush your teeth, you gotta brush like you mean it. Come on, get
that plaque.
Get that plaque. It's your chance to shine.
Love it.
Oh, honestly. You go ahead.
We sort of touched on this with the end of the 3LW, but since the end of the show, Adrian and Raven have seemed to reconnect, and like they've talked, and in an interview, like Adrian was like, "Oh, that's like my like Raven's my girl, like I love her." And then Raven watched that interview, like did a react, and was like, "It's true. We're still best friends. Blah 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 blah." So they've seemed to stay connected, and then Keely and Sabrina seem to be really good friends, and they do Instagram lives and they talk and they like tried to create their own show together. Didn't seem to work out, but still. Mm-hmm. But Adrian and Keely have like really gone their separate ways. I think I mentioned this, but like
we touched on it, I think, a bit during the 3LW. Yeah. Episode, so like they kind of really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Really don't.
But Raven and Keely had an Instagram live together where they've sort of hashed it out and they sort of talked about it. We've mentioned it already. Mm-hmm. And at sort of the end, they sort of like, we're good. Raven was like, truly, we're not going to be friends. We're never going to be good friends. But like, I'm good. I have no beef with you. I harbor no ill feelings anymore. And so that was actually really nice to see.
Yeah, cathartic, I bet.
But at the end of that Instagram live, Raven goes, the person that you really need to connect with is Adrian. And Keely goes, she has to apologize to me. She didn't come to my dad's funeral. Blah, 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 blah. And so, there's some bad blood between Adrian and Keely that they couldn't make up.
Yeah. And that's interesting that Raven and Keely were able to kind of move forward because of Raven's relationship with Adrian and
Keely
and Adrian's non-relationship. So that is really interesting.
And in that Instagram live, Keely sort of admitted that part of the reason why they felt distant from Raven was like, they were like, you were a big star. Like, we were sort of like a unit. Yes. Like, we sort of felt like we were all on the same level. And you were like, Raven. You had your own TV show.
Yeah, she was brought in as her own thing.
And yeah. You were the girl like, from the Cosby show.
Yeah, was never part of the group. She didn't stand a chance really to be on their level. Especially when they didn't tour together. They didn't, like, they just worked on the film together. Both films. But... yeah, they didn't really ever have a chance at building that same kind of relationship with Raven as it did with one another, for sure.
Yeah.
But all groups, members of the group have announced publicly that they'd be open to doing a Cheetah Girls reunion.
Yes, we love it.
Yeah.
Oh, I should also mention Adrian did try to put out solo music with Death Jam, but she sort of felt like this disconnect between her voice. She was like, I sound 15, like I still sound young, like how the Cheetah Girls kind of like mess with her own perception of herself. So that's actually really sad. That's
interesting and really a bummer, yeah.
But she did eventually put out a Christmas album, so.
Oh, good.
We love Adrian. Adrian's love a good Adrian. Singer.
She's sweet.
I love Adrian.
She is a good singer. She's got those runs. She's adorable. And also, I don't think we mentioned this. We mentioned that it was the first multi-ethnic girl music group that came out of Disney Channel.
Yes.
We mentioned that it was, like, that was the whole idea of it, but we didn't mention that it was the first, which is also scary, but also makes sense. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, I think that brings us back to our current day.
Hell yes. I think we should mention some of the present day, since we're back in present day, some of the present day celebrities who have mentioned they have been inspired by the Cheetah Girls.
I think yeah, go really for it.
Good one. Fifth Harmony, mainly Camila Cabello, has said Cheetah Girls as an inspiration. Zendaya, Olivia Holt.
Zendaya the Queen. I love Zendaya.
And Cardi B has also paid homage to Cheetah Girls.
Cardi.
The Cheetah Girls are a touchstone for pretty much all of us. Anybody who has a brain and eyes and was young in the early 2000s probably encountered the Cheetah Girls at some point. Especially if you're a woman or woman of color, or just a fan of women.
Mm-hmm.
Probably love the Cheetah Girls. So that's that.
That's that. Well, at the end of our show, we like to give our pop picks of the week. What are you watching? What are you indulging in, Miss Carly?
I have a couple of shows I would really love to shout out because I just finished them and I am obsessed. I just watched, finally, I've been trying to watch the show for forever. I finally caved and got a stacked TV 1 month subscription that I'm probably going to have to stretch into 2 months because I want to keep watching Outlander. But that's not my pop pick. I got it because I really wanted to watch these two shows that are going to be are my pop picks this week. And my two shows that I got it to watch, basically, are Rutherford Falls and Abbott Elementary.
Ooh.
And Rutherford Falls is the new Ed Helms show with Michael Schur. And
I'm writing it down.
Beautiful cast. Yeah, it's so awesome. It takes place in this town called Rutherford Falls, and Ed Helms plays this white Rutherford guy. And there's basically, it starts off with this town borders a Native reservation. And so they have a really complex history, this town, like everywhere does. But theirs is a lot more visible than a lot of places. And it is so funny and brilliant. It's brought to the people, like, it's from the people who bring you, like, The Office and bring you The Good Place and bring you Parks and Rec. Like, it's that kind of sitcom. But it has an incredible, like, hugely indigenous writer's room. Yeah, it's a Peacock original, so that's why I had a hard time finding it for a long time. It's been renewed for second season. Sierra Teller Ornelas, is that how you say it? Ornelas. She's a Navajo, an American showrunner. She's wonderful. It's her and Ed Helms and Michael Schur who are the showrunners, and it's brilliant. And there's a huge cast of indigenous folks and a huge cast of beautiful people and wonderful people. It has, you know, Schitt's Creek? You know, the vet? He's in it.
Oh, yeah, Ted.
Yeah. Yes.
What's his real name? I know his real name. He's Canadian.
He's totally Canadian. His name is...
He was also on 90210.
Dustin Milligan, who doesn't love Dustin? He's adorable.
He's on Celebrity Drag Race.
He's beloved. There's so many beautiful people who are a part of the show, and it's really funny. Like, it's great. I've been, like, had eyes on it for a long, long time because I've been very excited about it because I love anything that Mike Schur does. But also because of the content of the show, and it's so, so great. The tagline is "The past keeps popping up," because the big issue in their town is there's this, like, big statue of this colonial guy whose last name was Rutherford, and he founded the town. And people keep running into it because it's in the middle of a road, and there's no point that it should be there. It's very funny. It's more than that. It's so good. It's so brilliant. I love that show. And another show I really love as well is Abbott Elementary.
Mm-hmm.
And Abbott, like, as much as I love Rutherford Falls, it's very sweet. Abbott Elementary gives me the vibes that I have been needing. It's a, like, a mockumentary style show. So it's like The Office, it's like Parks and Rec. It's that kind of style. And that's one of my favorite styles of TV, is mockumentary. I think it's so funny. And it's Quinta Brunson is the
show. Oh, yeah. Okay. From BuzzFeed.
People know Quinta from BuzzFeed. And it's an ABC show. And she plays a second grade school teacher at Abbott Elementary. And it is basically in the heart of Philadelphia. It talks about, like, public schools and underfunding and all these wonderful things. And it's a very, like, diverse school. So, like, there's, like, a really big Black population because it's Philadelphia. So it just really dives into a lot of, like, issues that public schools face, and underfunded specifically public schools face. And it's so funny. Oh, you know The Parent Trap?
Yeah.
You know Chessie from The Parent Trap?
Sure.
She's the nanny. She's the nanny.
Okay. Yes.
Chessie, who's the best? She has, like, the button down shirt. She's like, I'll make you anything. What do you want? Chessie. She's in it. She's a teacher.
Cute.
She's so funny. Everyone in the show is, like, some of the funniest people in the world. Lisa Ann Walter. She's, like, one of the few white folks in this show, which is amazing. It's like a bit workplace comedy, mockumentary style. It's like, oh god, it's funny. Like, it's just brilliant. It's my new, like, I've watched it maybe last week for the first time in its entirety. It's one season. It just got renewed today for second season as we're recording this. And I am obsessed. I'm obsessed. I've watched it probably through three times.
Uh-huh.
It's my new falling asleep show. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Nice.
Yeah. So Abbott Elementary and Rutherford Falls, both are great. Both are just a good time. Like,
good.
Guilt-free good time. Absolutely. And just a great comedy. Like, good, like, well, like, chef's kiss comedy. Eric, what are your pop picks, my friend?
I'm going to give, well, I want to give a shout out. This is not my pop pick. Okay. But can everybody go on YouTube and stream Slumber Party by Britney Spears? Because it's almost at 100 million views and, like, we want to get it there. Britney deserves our support.
Let's do it.
But my true pop pick, and this is also sort of a throwback, this is back to 2014, I, like, recently fallen back in love with Troye Sivan's song, A Happy Little Pill.
Okay, yeah.
It's so good. My happy little pill, take me away. I love it. It's so good. That's it. But yeah. Go watch.
Let's go stream. Let's help Britney get to 100 party. Million views.
Come on, how does a Britney video have less than 100 million views?
That's silly. It's Britney, bitch.
It's Britney.
Do it. I'm watching it right now, even though I'm watching Eric, because we all need to do our part, and I'm doing my part.
I've watched it twice today.
Eric's done his part.
I've done my part. And I posted it in a Britney group, being like, you should all watch this. We have to get it to 100 million.
We have to get it to 100 mil. Let's do it.
If BTS can have most of their music videos be 1 billion, we can get Britney to 1 million. Right. 100 million.
100 mil. Like, come on.
She's a living legend.
She is. She really is. Oh my God, speaking of another living legend, real quick. I know we didn't talk about this at the top off the top of the show, but I want to mention it now. Dolly Parton turned down her nomination for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because she felt, and I quote directly from her Instagram release statement, she felt that she didn't deserve it. Okay. I'm obsessed with her. She's like, I don't want to split the vote, and I don't feel like I deserve it. She's like, maybe one day I'll put out a rock album. I'd love to. My husband loves rock albums. She is the cutest, the best. She's better than we deserve.
We even sang a little Dolly today.
Oh, we did.
Because famously, I Will Always Love You is actually originally a Dolly song. Written by Dolly.
That's absolutely true. Written by Dolly. For none other than Porter Wagoner. Oh, God. Love her. Love a legend. Love Brit. Love you.
Love you. Love our listeners.
Love our listeners. Hi, listeners. We love you.
Hi,
thank you for
hi Warsaw, Poland.
Hello. We love you all.
I like how we had, like, one listener in Poland one time, and now it's, like, my bit. I'm like, hi, Poland.
Yeah, you're just, like, hoping they're listening every time.
Yeah.
Probably are.
Probably. Yeah. Why not?
Why not take a crazy chance? Why
take a chance, take a chance, take a chance.
Listen to our podcast.
Why not? Why not take a crazy chance? I just got your reference. I went to Mamma Mia.
You went to ABBA right away, and I love that too.
It's because I associate you with ABBA, and you associate me with Britney and Hillary.
Thank you. We're both there always. And we love it. And thanks for sticking with us. And
good night.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah.